RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Friday morning, and joining us again on RCR is the Deputy Prime Minister, Foreign Minister, New Zealand First Leader, Winston Peters. Winston, good morning again.
Good morning.
You're going to be handing over the Deputy Prime Ministership soon, though, right?
Well, actually, I'm the Acting Prime Minister. I'll hand that back.
Oh, acting. Sorry. I forgot that
I'll
one.
I'll hand that back to the Prime Minister when he gets home.
Okay. And then you've got to pass on another one after that. What, October?
No, that's not till mid-next year.
Oh, mid-next year. Oh, I got that wrong. Okay. All right. So thank you for joining us. Quite a few things to talk about. First of all, the death of King Tuhaitia. What do you got to say about that?
Well, it's a very, how shall I say it, difficult moment because the King was not well. And some of us have been told very close up to be prepared to go, if you have to the Tangi. And it was very sad to find out overnight that it had happened. So in every respect for the King movement, the Kingitanga, and for those who subscribe to the Māori King as a position and have done since all those years ago, then it's a very, very sad moment. And we will carry on in salutation to his family and himself.
Mm. The Māori Queen, Kuini Ngā Wai Hono I Te Pō. Do you know much about her?
I can't say I'm familiar in terms of knowledge, no. I do, though, have a look at her background, her academic studies, what her friends say about her. I think that she was, in my view, always going to be the choice for the job. And to continue on the work in that sense that her grandmother was engaged in, who was there for 40 years and a highly successful and very much esteemed person right throughout Māoridom and indeed the European world.
Mm. Let's move on to COVID inquiry now. Phase one is over. There's a delay or the report has been withheld for a few months. What's that about?
Well, we were, and New Zealand First, never in support of phase one. We said so at the time in the campaign. We said so in the establishment of it. We said the terms of reference were inadequate and that the people on it, in our view, were not appropriate for the role of a proper inquiry of this type. And so phase two will begin in October, and phase one will be, sorry to use the pun, phased out, so to speak. It'll be over. Right. And we'll carry on with the inquiry we sought to get. And we believe that should have happened the day after the election because of Hekia Parata's resignation from the previous commission, so to speak, or the previous inquiry. And it's our view that this last few months is not a total waste of time, but it was being carried out in circumstances in which people, in my view, and we campaign on that, could not have trust.
Phase two, the new commissioners. Are you relaxed about who they are?
Well, we have to go with what we've got. There were a number of people who were approached who said that they were either too busy or not able to do it. So we have what we've got. And I would say to those people who were like us, opposed to the way the COVID lockdowns happened, that when we came and asked for names, they weren't as fast or forward coming as they should have been.
Many of our listeners talk about accountability surrounding all of this, and we know the whole thing has been couched in terms of being better prepared for the next pandemic. We know that in a Bell Gully publication recently documented that they said, I think that this commission can call people, you know, to come and give evidence. Do you see coming out of this, you may not want to answer this, I don't know, but some line of accountability following phase two? A lot of people want to know about that.
Well, there has to be. We are out to find out all the details of its management. What were the defects? And defects there were, big ones. People getting mandated out of their work and discriminatory mandations where some were allowed to carry on work without being vaccinated and some were told, no, that's it, you're out of work and out of income. And it's all of those things that happened, and also the length of the lockdown, unjustified as it was the second lockdown, and the appalling effect it's had upon our economic performance and our late coming out of the economic recovery of COVID. All these things need to be put out then, frankly, so we find out the truth, and it's only then we can say, well, knowing the truth, we'll be better able to handle this next time.
On to a few other things. The conviction and discharge of Alania Rubashkin, she was the guy who poured the juice over Posy Parker and others at Albert Park, March 2023. You've been following that? And
yes, I have been following that, and I'm actually astonished that she had the temerity to try and think she had a defence. She was caught out doing it on public television. She did it for a show, and dare I say it, I mean, I couldn't believe that she got on a plane and shot through after that, but had the effrontery to say that only God can judge her. And in our system of law, confirmed as it was way back in medieval times by the belief that God was in charge of that as well, our system of law, your colleagues and your fellow countrymen through the system judge you, and you've been found guilty. And I'm pleased that you was.
But, discharged after that, could have been acid in that thing. I mean, the people who got that stuff poured on them were freaking out initially. And also the damage it did to our reputation, Winston, that could be measured in dollars, couldn't it?
Yes, but you're asking me to criticise the courts, and I'm not going to do that. There's meant to be a separation of powers in this country between the judiciary and politicians and cabinet ministers, and so I'm restrained. But that she got convicted, I think, was utterly warranted. And the pretentious defence against freedom of speech knows no bounds. It just demonstrates how appallingly the education of some of these people has become when they think that that's a proper way of behaving.
Have you heard about this Victoria University study about stigma and minor attracted persons, Winston?
Yes, I have, and it's very, very shadowy as to what it means, but it looks to be setting out to say that we need to understand the psychology of paedophiles and young children. And I cannot believe that at this point in time in our education system that is the kind of money that the taxpayers' money should be spent on as a study, unless somehow, quietly, they're sympathetic to paedophiles and nobody else in the community is.
Yeah, and staying with universities, AUT teaching that New Zealand has a bidural legal system? Bidural legal system?
Well, what do they mean by that?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, what we've got at some universities, they want to make tikanga a part of the law course. AUT and Auckland's doing that, not so much as a buy your leave. And with the greatest respect to them and their fanciful imaginary views, the law is the law. It doesn't want any outside of a sort of a spiritual intake in that context, or some historical, even, dare I say, conceived ideas, for example, that the nature can be judging the law. And it's just got totally out of hand. Tikanga's tikanga. In its right place, we respect it. But to say it should be part of a critical and compulsory before you can get a law degree is just so wrong. And they need to be stopped in their tracks imposing those sorts of impositions on young law students and using taxpayers' money to do it. And if that's not the case, then the law students should be so told we'll go somewhere else then. But sooner or later, the market demand will prove how warranted that sort of teaching is.
Yeah, I'm wondering, the universities seem to just carry on like they always did. There's been an obvious change. I mean, the fact that you're sitting there shows that. And it's kind of like nothing happened.
Well, it's as though they're above the law, and they are, and they should be independent. Education should be independent in that context. But if you're going to use taxpayers' money and then impose your own narrow, might I say, ministerially supported view, possibly less than 3% of the country thinks this is the right way to go, then you should be called to account. And they need to be. And they need to be called to account by the mainstream media. How come I'm not reading this stuff out there in the mainstream media as the number one, as big issues? Because if New Zealanders knew that, they'd be reacting to it.
Yeah, we all wonder that. Just to finish up, Winston, How do you think you're doing, I won't say in the polls, but support for your party right now? It seems that there might have been a bit of a bump. Where is it at, do you think?
Well, every poll has got us going inexorably upwards, and we'll carry on doing that because we've got ourselves well organised. We're working very hard out there. The team's doing a great job. And not always under the radar, so to speak, but we have been, and by the mainstream media, treated with utter contempt, as you'd expect. How many times do you think I've been on Morning Report?
Well,
How many times do you think I've been on Morning Report this year?
Yeah, how many?
Oh, about two.
Really? Everybody. And what's the question? We don't listen. So what's the questioning like, Winston? Are they always trying to get you?
You can tell by the way they phrase the question. When you say to somebody, as a questioner, and you're a serious journalist, you know, serious media person, don't you think so-and-so? You say straight away, selling your bias. If you would ask the question, do you think so-and-so, or what does it mean, then you know the person is being unbiased. But when they start with, don't you think so-and-so, I feel like saying to them, and I've said to them, I'm a mainstream journalist, why don't you go away with the amateur hour question?
Do they ever say, so you're saying?
So you mean so-and-so, and I say, no, dickhead. If I meant that, I'd have said so.
All right. I know you're busy. We won't hold you any longer. Winston, thanks for coming back on.
Well, yeah, that's what I say when the guy's name is Dick.
There you go. All right.
Okay, then.
Thank you, Winston. See ya.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.